You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Faith in Christ brings healing. Learn more about this truth in week 2 of our series, Beyond the Signs.
Alright, good evening, 7 p.m. service. I just give a high five to your seatmate and tell them, I'm so glad you could be here today. Right? Now, for those of you who are here for the first time, let me just introduce myself. My name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries here. Now, without much ado, okay, we're down to the second installment of our series called Beyond the Signs. All right, if you're new here, this is all about looking into some of Jesus' miracles. Take specific miracles, look at them, and see what we can learn from these miracles. Last week, as we kicked off this series, we started off with Jesus' first ever miracle, Him turning water into wine, all right? That was His first miracle. Now today, we're going to look into another miracle. And this kind of miracle was something that Jesus did to meet a specific need. Specifically, in a time where someone was in a desperate situation. Jesus did this miracle to help someone in a desperate situation. Someone in a crisis. Now, how many of you here can honestly, you know, relate to this now? At one point in your life, you had a desperate situation. You had a crisis. Maybe for those of you who are students, it might be now, you know, one day you went to school, you're happy, okay ka, wala kang late sim klase, you're with your friends. But the moment you went in the campus or in your classroom, look at your classmates and you realize, ano nagtaon mo? Sinaan? Ha? Waka balo, exams karo. We have midterm exams, major exams. So you're caught off guard. So you have a desperate situation to what? To cram, to study. And students, have you ever experienced that? Wala, oh, studios daw, studios. Okay, or if you're working naman, for those of you who are single professionals, maybe, you know, you woke up one day, ganun pa kang matulog, 5 minutes more. Okay na, 5 minutes more. Pag matani mo, uy, 4 minutes pa. 4 minutes until mag-start na ang work ni mo. So you quickly tried your best, dali kang ligo. Bahala na unsay ligo, uska ana ra kabo, okay na. Sabon, uska pahid ang sabon niya. You went trying to beat the time to make it to your work. Anyone here, you ever had that moment na, man, you were late when you woke up? Ha? Wala ba? Dumaguete is always on time? Okay, we all had that moment or that time when we had a desperate situation. One of my more recent and unforgettable moments of desperation, a desperate moment or a moment of crisis was when I went with some of my friends to Sikihor, to Mab's beloved hometown. We went there for a ministry work and our friend booked our ticket for a boat and supposedly ang ganahan mo kanang dakong a boat. Kasi if you've ever been to Sikihor or you've ever took a boat ride to Sikihor, you know medyo rough ang waves dito, di ba? Medyo balut na siya on the way. The wise thing to do would be that to get a big boat para dili ka malipong, dili ka masuka, dili ka maunsan. So we asked our friend, hey, take this boat, take this certain boat, okay? Just don't take anything else. And this friend of ours, ang kauban namo, which I will not name lang, okay? This person, basically, she booked this boat because when she went into the pier or kanang sa pantala nato diha, she went there, she saw the picture, may tsada man lang tawa ng boat. Nagdako man lang tawa ng boat sa picture. So she took it and it was actually one of the smaller kind of boats you would take going to Sikihor. So let me choose, we took it. And on the way, man, it was really rough. I mean, it wasn't stormy or anything, but balud lang dyan. We tried our best to hold it. And if those of you who've gone on boat rides, diba, sometimes we're like, you felt nauseous, you felt dizzy. We tried our best to hold it. But in a moment of desperation, when I couldn't hold it any longer, man, I started shouting. My wife was there, like, kisa na plastic diha, anyone, kisa na, anything niya, paper bag, masigunsa na lang, okay? I wanted to get something because I couldn't hold it na. I was getting dizzy, the smell was so bad, it was so hot. Langit paminaw na ako. But the funny thing was, our friend, the one who booked the ticket, she was also feeling dizzy na, kasukaon na siya. And out of desperation, you've heard of the line, desperate times calls for desperate measures. This friend of mine, okay, really exemplified desperate measures. Out of her desperation, okay, wala siya makita ang plastic. She moved to another seat, grabbed the nearest whatever she could grab, which was a trash can, okay? She grabbed the nearest trash can she could find, and she vomited there, okay, basically. Out of desperation, okay? And basically, I'm just sharing that just to share it to us. Now, in desperate times, we are prone to do something desperate as well. Diba? When we are boxed in a corner, we feel like we've exhausted all means. Nothing is too hard to do. Parang tanan buhato nato whenever we box in a desperate or in a moment of crisis. Just like katong friend namo, okay? And you know what? This miracle that we're going to look into today is something like that. This miracle is about the time when Jesus healed the son of an official. Okay? When he healed an official son. And this isn't Jesus' second miracle ever. He did other miracles before this. But it was the second miracle of a particular place called Cana. And if you remember, we talked about Cana last week when he turned water into wine. So this was his second miracle in that place called Cana. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn with them to John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. Okay? It says here in John chapter 4, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.'" Verse 49, "The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he had begun to get better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus said to him, 'Your son will live.' And he himself believed, and all his household." Verse 44, "This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." So again, we just read basically, you know, another story of Jesus performing a miracle in Cana. Let's take a look into the context or the background of the story. What's happening right here? Firstly, in this story, the other main character, apart from Jesus, is an official. There's this person who went to meet with Jesus. He was an official. When we say someone is an official, this person is probably someone who is of influence, someone who is of wealth, someone who's probably royal, someone who works in their local government. Right, that's what this kind of person is. And as we read in those verses, we read that Jesus was in a place called Cana. And a long way off, there was this guy in Capernaum. And he had a son who was dying. This guy was doing his thing. He was trying to do certain things to revive, to heal his son. And then one day, verse 46, it says there, "At Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill." Verse 47, "When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son." So can you just imagine this? This guy was in Capernaum doing all that he could in a desperate situation to heal his son. And when I say heal his son, I'm not just talking about a son that's just ill or sick. There's a difference in attitude with people when their loved ones are sick versus dying. When someone is sick, pag sipon, ubo, hilanat, we just usually what? Use biogesic, bioflu, diba? Rest, liquids, vitamin C lang na, okay na, tulog na diha. It's a different mindset if it's something that's minor. But when someone is dying, okay, near the point of death, about to die, meaning for this guy, his son could die at any moment. This was something that's so desperate for him. This was not a light thing. So for the next few moments or minutes or so, I want us all just to put ourselves in the shoes of this person, to feel what this person is going through. Imagine this. His son is dying. And there's nothing else he could do. Why can we say nothing else? Because he was willing to go to Jesus. This guy was, again, an official. He had access to doctors, to all the medical stuff he could find. He had influence and money to spare. But his son was dying. It was not getting any better. And so when he had heard Jesus being in Cana, he was willing to go to Jesus. This guy was desperate. Desperate to do anything. Desperate to do anything to help his son. And how can we say that this guy is desperate? Okay? Just to pound a point, talking about the crisis of what he's going through. This guy was willing, take note, to travel from Capernaum all the way to Cana. Now, when we read the Bible, sometimes, di ba, when may mga places you mention, may towns, when places are mentioned in the Bible, sometimes we have this mindset na parang next barangay lang. Diba? Parang, this guy went from Capernaum to Cana. Parang, when I read the Bible, a lot of times, sometimes I just think na, okay, mura siya pulang tubig to Kamanhag, or you know, from Piapi to downtown. Mura siya, somehow, that's my gauge of distance when I read the Bible sometimes. But here, when it talks about Capernaum to Cana, it actually talks about a great distance. I have a map here showing Capernaum to Cana. Okay, the distance between Capernaum to Cana, if you were going to walk or travel from Capernaum to Cana, is about 20 to 25 miles or 40 plus kilometers. Now, that doesn't seem much right now for us because what? We have cities, we have cars, motorcycles, or if layo jud airplanes, all that. But in their time, they had none of that. Okay? They had none of that. Okay, the best they could have ridden was what? Donkeys. Donkey Express yung sakyan nila. Below sea level siya, certain feet. Cana naman was uphill. So for someone to travel from Capernaum going to Cana, he had to travel like 20 to 25 miles, 40 kilometers uphill. Uphill. Anyone here tried trekking a mountain or the walk uphill? Di ba kapoy kayo? Di ba? It's tiring. It's very exhausting. This guy did it for 40 plus kilometers. Someone told me that's like Dumaguete to Pamplona on foot or on a donkey in the heat of the sun uphill. Can you imagine that? Kita gani pag mag-bus lang ta, sometimes kapuyan ta, kapuya, naka-aircon na ng bus. This guy, no air condition, no comfortable seats, or no snacks during travel. He would walk in the heat of the sun from Capernaum to Cana. And why? Because he was desperate. This guy was desperate. And as we're gonna look into this guy's life, we're gonna look into his faith journey. This transformation from where his faith was to where it was after he had encountered with Jesus. First, we just tackled a while ago, this guy had a crisis faith, a crisis of faith. When we say crisis faith, it means crisis faith happens when Jesus becomes an option and not a consideration at points of desperation. Jesus becomes a resort, a last resort, parang when all hope seems lost, when you tried all channels, all possible resources, all avenues, all ways you could think of, all strategies, when you did all that you could, then you go to Jesus. And haven't we ever had those moments in our lives? Whether it be our finances, whether it be our health, whether that be, you know, our relationships, our grades for the students, our work. But sometimes we have this mindset, okay, we do all that we can. Tarang, sama, think nato, we do it. But pag wala na dyan mabuhat, when there's nothing else we could do, then we run to Jesus. Then we go to Jesus. Then we go to God. Lord, I have this problem. He becomes an option at moments of desperation. And conversely, when there's no moments of desperation, we don't rely on Him. Pag okay lang, pag feeling kaya lang, ah, okay lang, kaya na ako ni, I can do it on my own. That's what's happening right here. This guy is an official, and him being an official, yes, he's probably Jewish, but to some extent, okay, this guy doesn't know much about Jesus. He wasn't a disciple, he wasn't a follower of Jesus. Him being an official means this guy had ties probably to Herod. And who was Herod? This Herod was the guy who put John the Baptist to death. The guy who beheaded John the Baptist being Jesus' cousin. This guy probably worked with Herod, okay? This guy was in no ways, okay, a follower of Jesus, but he had heard of Jesus. He had a limited idea of who Jesus was. Parang for him, Jesus was the answer to his problems. He heard this guy, and he did miracles. He performed certain great things. Now, he's in Cana, 40 kilometers. In their time, 40 kilometers journey is like a day's journey. A day. Imagine that, 1 day's worth of travel. Feeling niya parang, okay, my son is dying. There's this guy who probably could help him. I'm gonna go to this guy and, you know, ask him to help my son. That's what's happening right here. He's having a crisis of faith. Okay? And how many of us here have ever had those moments? Now, we tried all that we could only to be disappointed, only to feel, you know, desperate, feeling, Lord, unsa akong bani, Lord? I did all that I could. Have you ever uttered those lines before when we're in moments of prayer kang God? I've had those moments. Parang, Lord, I did this. Parang, Lord, tanan na, Lord, ang gibuhat. The reality is, we don't have to do everything. We just need to rely on God. And that's what this person was about to learn later on. In John chapter 4, verse 48 naman, when he had met Jesus, after he had an encounter with Jesus, he first said, Jesus, come with me. Come down with me. My son is dying. He said something like that. And Jesus' response was, this is pretty interesting. Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Parang, okay, harsh naman ni Jesus. Imagine this guy, a day's worth of journey on a donkey or on a horse or whatever gisakyan niya. Imagine that, kapoy, init, out of breath, it was uncomfortable. Anyone here, you ever felt haggard in your life? Haggard. This guy was haggard and all that, he was tired. And finally, he meets Jesus. He begs Jesus, Lord, please, Jesus, come into my home. My son is dying. And Jesus responds by saying, yeah, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Ouch. Now, why did Jesus say that? May hugot si Jesus if we look at it. Why did he say that? Okay, for us to grasp that, let's look at a few verses back. Before he went to Cana, before he went back to Cana, okay, in John chapter 4, verse 40 to 45, it says here, after 2 days, he departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that the prophet had has no honor in his hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Now what's happening right here? Prior to Jesus being in Cana again, he came to another place. For 2 days, he stayed at that particular place. And that was in a town in Samaria. He went to this town where Samaritans live. And the thing with this town, we have to grasp culturally what's happening as well first. Jews, Israelites, don't like Samaritans. Okay? Parang may racism between them. Okay? Jews don't like Samaritans. They would look down on Samaritans. And Jesus was with these people. And the amazing thing while he was with these people, the Samaritans, was that, remember the story when he was on the well? And then this woman came and he starts to talk with this woman. Starts ministering with this woman. Starts telling her about her life. Even though first time a woman meets Jesus. And this woman, throughout the conversation, through the ministering, realizes this person is the Messiah. This person is the Son of God. This is Jesus. So this woman goes back to her town, starts testifying about Jesus, about what she encountered, about whom she met. And she brings her whole town to meet Jesus. And then when her whole town meets Jesus, they all believe. They all believe that he is the Son of God. They all believe that Jesus is whom he claims to be. Not just because of the woman's testimony, because they heard how Jesus spoke. They had an encounter with Jesus. So Jesus was coming from a place where people believed who he was, believed that he was the Savior, the Messiah, even though he did no miracles. Jesus did not perform any miracles. He didn't do any wondrous works. He didn't turn water into wine. He simply ministered to them. Simply talked to them. And amidst that, this whole town believed that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior. Now coming from that, going back to Cana, and it says there, verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all he had done. We have here a group of people, the Galileans, a group of people who would believe Jesus only because there were signs. Only because there were miracles. These guys welcomed him because they had seen what he had done. Whatever miracles else he did in Galilee, not just in Cana, but in Galilee. Whatever else he did, they would believe because of the miracles they saw. Meaning these guys needed a sign to believe. In other words, when Jesus told the officer, you know what, unless you see signs or miracles, you will not believe. You there is not a singular word pertaining to the official lang. It's being used to address his entire crowd, the people around him. So when he says those words, he's not just talking to the official. He's talking to the people around him, to the Galileans. He's telling them, you know what? You guys, unless you see a sign, unless you see miracles, you're not going to believe. That's what's happening right here. And how many of us here today have ever had that experience na parang we don't want to believe unless we see God move, unless we have proof? Have you ever had that experience or that moment na parang, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you or I'm going to trust you if you do this first. If you do this to my grades, if you do this to my health and all that, or if you do what I want, Lord, say, Lord, follow ko nimo. Lord, if you do this, Lord, okay, you are who you say you are. Prove it, Lord God. You know, sometimes we try to put God in a hot seat. It's like they interrogate nimo someone, like you try nimo find, okay, sige, buhatan ni, prove that you are really God. Sometimes we do that to God, just like what's happening right here to these people. But Lord, if you do this, all right, sige, if not, okay, you're not God, you're not who you claim to be. We put God in a hot seat. But the right attitude rather here, if we're here, you're believers, we are Christians, we're following Jesus, the right attitude to have is the other way around. Lord, whatever it is for God, whether you do this or not for God, I'm going to trust you. The one on the hot seat here is not God, but it's us. As if God is talking to us, about, even if there are no signs, will you still believe me? Even if I don't do miracles in front of you, are you still going to believe that I am who I say I am? Even if I don't answer your prayers right now, will you still love me? Will you still worship me? Even if what you're praying or believing does not come the way you want it or when you want it, are you still gonna worship God? Are you still gonna continue walking in faith, believing he is God? Do we have that attitude? Or are we like the Galileans who require signs, who require proof to believe in God? Okay, I've seen it now. Okay, Lord, okay, you know what, good day, Lord God. Do we require signs and miracles? Do we require something tangible, something that makita, ma-satisfy ang senses nato for us to put our feet forward, for us to surrender ourselves and to believe and trust God? Or are we willing to believe, to be in faith? To be in faith, okay? Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 2 gives us a picture, a description of what faith is. It says here, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assure us about what we do not see. This is what the ancients recommended for. The assurance about what we do not see. It doesn't say you have faith when you see. In our world right now, we have those thoughts that to see is to believe. Now, when you see it, okay, then you can believe it. But the Bible says that faith is the assurance about what we do not see, even if you don't see it. Even if you don't see those passing grades yet. Even if you don't see your promotion yet. Even if you don't see what you're believing for yet. Even if you don't see you getting healed yet. Even if you don't see that dream car, that dream travel, or whatever it is that you're believing for yet. Faith is believing, holding on, assured that, man, it's gonna come. It's there. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. There is confidence. You believe that it's there even if you don't see it. Even if none of your senses can sense it, if you don't hear it, don't smell it, don't taste it, don't feel it, parang wala jud, but you believe, you hold on, you believe that it is there. That is faith. Faith is not, you know, I believe, Lord, because there is this one, Lord, there's this proof right here, Lord God, because nanigyatag in advance si Lord nimo nga sign or something. Faith is to believe that even if there are no signs, God's gonna come through. He's gonna provide, He's gonna come through for us. John chapter 20, verse 29, just another example naman. Jesus said to him, this is Jesus talking to the apostle Thomas. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This was a time where Thomas the apostle was not with the other disciples when Jesus first showed himself after the crucifixion, when he had resurrected. Thomas said, "Now, okay, I'll believe when I touched, you know, the wounds in his sides and when I see him." And Jesus showed up himself, asked Thomas to touch his wounds, and then Thomas believed. And Jesus basically told this to him, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Again, faith is the assurance or the confidence of what we do not see. Our assurance that God's gonna come through. The reality is sometimes when we go to God, it's like, parang we have this genie image of who God is. Parang, Lord, it is my problem. Do this for me, Lord God. David Wells says, we have turned to a God that we can use rather than to a God we must obey. We have turned to a God who will fulfill our needs rather than to a God before whom we must surrender our rights. God becomes an instrument, a solution to our problems, a fixer. Okay, Lord, buhatan ni Lord God. And that's what's happening right here to this guy, to the official. Going back to the story now. Again, he had a limited idea of who Jesus was. He didn't know he was the Son of God yet or he was the Savior Messiah. He just know this guy was a miracle worker. He did wonders. And so that's why he went to Jesus. And Jesus told him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But then the official responds, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, naman, sir, come down before my child dies. He perseveres. He becomes persistent. Sir, please, knowing his desperate situation, come down before my child dies. And it's pretty interesting what Jesus said to him next. Jesus said, go, your son will live. Go, your son will live. Now this is interesting right here because no other prophet, no other person who did miracles, wonders in the Bible, whether it was Elisha, the prophets, Moses, and all that, none of them ever did something like this. The difference here is that Jesus is practically claiming that you don't need me to be physically where you are for your son to be healed. He just said, go, your son will live. All the prophets in the Old Testament, like Elijah, for example, remember that time when Pastor actually preached a word about the Shunammite woman? Elijah had to be in the presence of the dead son to resurrect the son. He had to be there to lay hands, to pray, be in the vicinity, be in the presence. Jesus here is practically saying, it doesn't matter if it's 40 kilometers. Doesn't matter if it's 80 kilometers. I don't need to be there. Go. Your son will live. And so what's happening here is that Jesus is claiming his deity, him being God as well. Because where else have you seen something like this? That someone would just say, go and speak a word and something will happen? Where else but in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, in the story of creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be so and so, and it came into being. God just spoke and things happened. Things appeared. Creation happened when he spoke the universe into being. And what we have right here is Jesus speaking just by a word saying, go, your son will be healed. I don't need to lay my hands. I don't need to be there. I don't need to do certain things to travel. I just need to speak. Go, your son will live. Go, your son will live. And the officer's response is also pretty amazing. Because before he had crisis faith, parang last ditch effort na to. But in verse 50, we see here, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Can you imagine this? You traveled all that way. You want to bring this guy to your son. Right? You had one objective, one mission. This guy has to come home, heal my son. That wasn't the response he was expecting. Jesus told them, go, your son will live. Ah, okay, my son will live. Now, typically, how do we respond to something like that? Parang, Lord, how? Jesus, how? That's how we usually respond. Saan man, you're here. You're nowhere near there. How is it happen? Is he gonna get well? If that was me, I would have a lot of questions. My wife knows. I'm a person who asks questions. If that was me, I'd probably reason out, Lord Jesus, how are you gonna make it possible? But the Bible says, he believed the word. No buts. No discussion. No arguments. He just believed Jesus. Okay, this is what he said. My son will live. And he went on his way. He went back. Parang, okay, sige, balik na mo. Bye. Capernaum, here I come. Okay? That's how quick it was. What does this tell us? From Christ's faith, this guy had confidence now. His faith was now confident. He had confident or confidence faith. This guy believed in Jesus from a low level kind of faith. Now he had the confidence to believe, to take Jesus at his word. There's this story of a guy who did something similar about using words, okay? This guy right here is Charles Blondin, okay? Charles Blondin is a tightrope walker. And what do tightrope walkers do? They walk on tightropes. Okay, very good. They would tie one rope at one end, then tie another one at another end. Then they would tighten it. Yeah, tightrope, okay? Then they would walk from one end to another. This guy was known because he would not just walk on a tightrope with that stake to balance him. He would do all sorts of stunts. One time, he was walking and he stopped in the middle and he made an omelet or nag-sunny-side egg siya while he was on the tightrope. Can you imagine that? Nag-snacks ba siya while walking on a tightrope? And then this picture right here was actually crossing. In this picture, he was crossing the Niagara Falls. He was walking a tightrope above Niagara Falls. And then one time, when he was walking in a tightrope, he asked his crowd, he threw the stick to balance him, he took a wheelbarrow, and he asked his crowd, his fans, people around him, asking them, do you believe that I can carry or I can bring a guy in this wheelbarrow from one end to the other of this tightrope? Of course, the people knowing him, seeing his stunts, they said, of course, yeah, we believe you can do it. Charles, kaya ni mo na. Okay, kayo. And so Charles asked him, all right, any volunteers? And then no one volunteered. Okay? They all knew that this guy could do it, but intellectually, they knew that this guy could do it. But when it comes to personally, whether they truly believe that this guy could do what he claimed to do, this guy could do what he said, they doubted. They didn't take him at his word. Now, eventually, in that story, after much asking people, one guy actually volunteered after a while. But the point is, a lot of times, we are like that when it comes to God. When God tells us something, when we read our Bibles, when we see God's promises, a lot of times, we don't respond with that kind of confidence. Honestly, diba, we're like that sometimes. I myself have found myself like that a lot of times. Parang, Lord, you said it this way in your word. You're a provider. You're a blesser. Lord, you're a healer. Parang, Lord, how? Or Lord, parang, saan man, Lord? Sometimes we don't take God at His word. Kaya nga, we look for signs. We look for proofs. God, just show me, Lord God, that I can really believe. No, I'm not saying that we can't doubt or there's no room for doubt or God is intimidated with our doubts. God is not intimidated with our doubts. We can bring our doubts to God. Lord, this is my problem. Lord, give me the faith to believe. But my hope and my prayer that just like the official, when God speaks to us, when we receive a promise or we look into, you know, who God is, may we take Him at His word. May we respond to Him at His word. Parang, okay, Lord, this is my situation. This is how difficult it is. And honestly, whatever I sense, parang, listen to Lord, desperate. But Lord God, this is what you say. And I'm gonna take you for your word. I'm gonna be confident in what you say. And I know, honestly, sometimes that's hard. And I found myself in a hard situation like that a lot of times. But I hope in my opinion, as we look into that, as we dig into what the official did, may we ask God for the faith. Lord, give me the faith to believe. Hold on to your word. I may take you at your word, God. I may trust you at your word. Even if you haven't done anything yet. Even if wala pa kayo makita nga something approved. Lord, may I take you at your word. Just like the official son. The official was pretty confident. Why can we say confident? Because one reason, again, it takes a day to travel from Capernaum to Cana. And another day, at least a day, back again. For him to do that, okay, for him to do that, he couldn't travel at night, overnight, because in their time, it's dangerous to travel at night. So this guy, after traveling one day to Cana, he couldn't just go back to Capernaum right after leaving Jesus. He had to stay somewhere muna. Stay overnight somewhere. Now, can you imagine that? You're someone whose son is dying. Dying at any moment, mamatay. But this guy stayed overnight pa. Nag-check-in muna siya. Nag-stay muna siya. And there's no other reason I could put there but confidence that what Jesus said to him was something he took and believed. Because if he didn't believe that this guy would do anything he could to go back straight to Capernaum, even if it was dangerous. But this guy was confident. He was confident to believe in Jesus. And the good thing about what happened in this story was that, you know, he was rewarded for his faith. As we go on to the story in verse 51, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. Can you imagine that? As he was going on his way, probably, you know, at the gates now where he was, he's about to meet his son. The servants ran to him, told him, Master, busing, imong anak is getting well now. He's getting better. He's being relieved. He's recovering. And amazingly, when he heard this news, his first response when he hears this is he says, so he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And you know, this is pretty unusual because if you're a father or if you're a parent and your son or daughter is dying, just recovered, and someone tells you, bago lang recover, okay na siya, what would you respond? Or how would you respond? Okay? How would you respond? You'd probably be saying, parang, asa siya? Asang anak, dalas ako ah. You'd want to see your son or daughter. You want to hug him. You want to be in the presence. You'd want to go straight. But the father, when he heard that his son was recovering, he said, when was the hour he got better? When was it? When siya naayo? And his servants told him, yesterday at the 7th hour. In their time, it was about 1 o'clock p.m. And it says here in verse 53, the father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. How can he be sure? Because in their time, wealthy people, officials like them, they had watches. Not digital watches or mga Rolex, mga G-Shock. Not those kind of watches. Yung watches sun-powered, mga sundial. You guys know that? They would take out a watch, put it in the heat of the sun, and calculate the time through the sun's rays. Okay? That's how they did it. And so by his calculation, it was about 1 p.m., the same time the day before. And he realized that that was exactly the same time Jesus said, your son will be well, or your son will live. It was confirmed. Tinuod gyud ay. Kasi can you imagine this? The whole journey, he was probably like, Jesus said, my son will live. Okay, my son will live. Really, he will live? Imagine the journey, 40 kilometers worth. He's probably thinking, he said my son will live. Okay, really ba? He just said it ba? My son will live mo jud ba? No, my son will live. Have you ever had that? Parang we're battling our doubts with what we're believing, holding on. Lord, this is what you said, Lord. But Lord God, this is my situation. Lord, this is what you said, Lord. Pero muni yung gingon sa ubans. Or muni ako makita. But Lord, this is what you said, Lord. This is what's happening sa guy probably. When he had confirmed it, it was true. What Jesus said was really true. His faith was rewarded. It was confirmed. He had confirmed faith. He was confident in his faith and he was rewarded. His faith was confirmed. Man, what Jesus said was really true. It was the real deal. And the amazing thing about this story was after what happened to him, after his encounter, his experience with Jesus, he didn't just keep it to himself. Because it says in verse 53, and he himself believed and all his household. He believed, he had a better understanding of who Jesus was. This guy is not just a miracle worker. All right, I believe who Jesus is. And not just him, but his entire household. His faith was contagious. He could just keep it to himself. Parang, imagine this, if you're the father, you're on your way, servants told you, your son is healed, or your son got better, buhi siya, okay siya. You went home, saw your son recovering. He's gonna make it. You believe, you realize, man, what Jesus said was true. This is the real deal. This guy is the Savior, the Messiah. You just had an amazing encounter, amazing experience. Wow, this just happened to me. My son is now alive. Can you just imagine this? Can you imagine this guy parang, okay, see, next thing. He's shrugging it off. Parang, no way. When something amazing like this happens to this guy couldn't keep it to himself. He was probably gathering his household, his family, his children. Grabe, you know what happens at trip now? Went to this Cana, wanting to meet this guy, Jesus. But first, ingon siya na ako, dito siya matabang na ako. Then he told me, go, your son will live. Ingon siya dong, maayo daw ka. Ingon siya, Matura daw ko, di siya kailangan mga siya present. And when I came here, the servants, ingon to si Manong, on exactly the same time that this Jesus said that you would be healed, you would be well, you would live, you actually got well here, sa atong city. Imagine him telling his family, he's all, man, this is what happened to me, guys. This is my trip. This is my testimony. This is my experience. Him and his whole household believed. He had contagious faith. Contagious faith. He couldn't keep it to himself. Everyone else around him got it. Parang, if what you say is Jesus, who he is, man, I'm gonna believe it as well. And what does it mean for us? For us here today, it means that if you're here and you're a believer, you've had that experience with Jesus, especially how you first encountered him, your faith is not something that you keep it to yourself lang. But your encounter with Jesus is something that you ought to share and tell other people as well. This is what he did for me. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how I encountered him. This is how my life was and how he saved me, how he rescued me, how he turned my life around, how he changed my life. Just like the official, may we have contagious faith, church. Now, we can't help but share people what Jesus did for us, how he helped us. Now, very quickly, as we look into this story, what does this story point into Jesus? How does this story tell Jesus about who he is? Two things lang. Firstly, it tells us that Jesus is gracious. Gracious. Why gracious? Because, number one, Jesus was in a place, in a city where an unbelieving people, he was in a crowd where people would want to have a miracle muna before they would believe Jesus. They didn't have faith. But he did it nonetheless. He granted healing towards this person. Remember last week we talked about that Jesus is moved with compassion? The same thing with this story. Jesus is not heartless. Yes, he responded strongly at first to the official, but it wasn't like parang, okay, pakisay mo anak mo, saan na siya? Puno akong schedule ron. I have miracles to do somewhere else. Get lost. It wasn't like that. Jesus was probably testing this guy. Parang, let's see how this guy would react. Let's see how this guy would respond. And he was moved with compassion. He still healed, okay, the son of this official. And take note, this guy was an official. As I said earlier, this guy had connections probably to Herod. The guy who killed John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. He could have said, parang, hey, official ka, di ba kailan mo ni Herod? Di ba boss ni mo si Herod? Di ba tungod ni mo na matay si John the Baptist? He could have answered something like that, no way I'm gonna heal you. But he healed the son nonetheless. Granted healing through his grace. And what does it mean for us? For us here today, we don't live perfect lives. And maybe for some of you, you're doubting, Lord, will you do this for me, Lord? Can you actually do this for me? Knowing what I did before and knowing what my status is who I am, is what I did. Even if this is your situation, even if seemingly dili perfect ang timing, you know what? We can't put God in a box. We can't put Jesus in a box. We have a compassionate God. And He can, He will, by grace, do things, provide, bless, do miracles in our lives. What else does it say? Secondly, it all says that He is powerful. Jesus is powerful. It says He is powerful because if you look at it again, He's able to heal like no one else. He's able to heal a dying son like no one else, even if the distance was long. It doesn't matter if it was 100 miles, 1,000 miles. This guy could still heal the person. And that speaks volumes in our lives today. What seemingly desperate situation do you have that you feel like it is beyond hope? That is beyond restoration? That is beyond solution? What is it? Because you have a God that is immensely bigger than whatever big problem that you have. That's the kind of God that we worship, a big God. John Piper says, when Jesus speaks authority, there are no spatial limitations to His power. There's no limits in venue or in space. Parang Jesus can only heal wherever He is lang. But no, when He speaks, He can do it. And the same thing with us, church. Kaya we need to learn to take God at His word, to believe Him at His word. When God speaks, amazing things happen. When God speaks, remember, when He spoke, the universe came into being. Anyone here, you ever did something like that? When you spoke, something appeared? Hamburger. None of us ever did that. But Jesus did that. Jesus being God, He did it. So as I end here today, as I wrap up this installment about Jesus healing the Son, my simple encouragement for everyone is that may we take God at this word. May we have the faith, just like the official, of taking God at His word, of trusting Him at His word, believing Him at His word. Because God is faithful. He is a promise keeper. As we were singing a while ago, as we were singing that song, remember that song? Jesus, my Savior, lover of my soul. We were singing that song, the promise keeper. He is a promise keeper. What He promises might not have come yet. It might not have come the way you want it. But God is a promise keeper. He is faithful, church. And I hope and I pray you will take Him for His word.